Greetings, and welcome to Bear Soup, news, skews, interviews, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. I'm your host, Ron Serratia. We have a gutbuster of a show for you this week, bubbling up in this episode, so belly up to the hot tub, bears, in the 79th serving of Bear Soup. Our Connecticut Civil Union becomes a marriage. Exclusive interview with Paul Moore, owner of The Den, Fresno bar set on fire last month. An excerpt, NSFW, from the new book, Spring of the Stag God, by J.C. Hernison. Comment on Steve-O Harris's new single, Deception, running on Bear Radio. And news on space bears. We're locked and loaded, so stand back. You're just in time for a deep dish serving of bear soup. On the last day of September, I posted the following blog, entitled, Connecticut Civil Unions Become Marriage. Tomorrow, October 1st, 2010, our 5-year-old Connecticut Civil Union legally becomes a marriage. Today is the last day for the issuance of civil union licenses in Connecticut, according to the GLAD Handbook on Connecticut Marriage. Quote, if you have a civil union entered into in Connecticut and you do not marry your civil union spouse prior to October 1st, 2010, you are deemed to be married by the state of Connecticut as of October 1st, 2010, and your civil union status will cease as of that date. Rocco and I were one, apparently the 16th, of the several dozen couples who came October 1st, 2005, to Hartford to be wed by one of several available justices of the peace. In this photo from Metroline magazine, we are being civilly united in front of the Caldor sculpture next to City Hall. Thanks once again to our JP, Calvin Ralton. And there is a picture of us somewhat glary. And in the next, almost completely unretouched photo, notice how much less glare there is and how much more color saturated we are. And then there's a better version of the same photo underneath that, changing the captions from the first one, Ron and Rocco, Civil Union, October 1st, 2005, to the caption underneath the second photograph as Ron and Rocco Marriage, October 1st, 2010. Although it is the last day for the issuance of civil union licenses, there has not been any practical reason why anyone would want a civil union. In fact, last year, as a licensed justice of the peace, I dissuaded a different sex couple here in New London from getting a civil union, and instead performed their marriage ceremony, since their CU, like ours, would automatically roll over tomorrow into civil marriage, regardless of genders of the parties involved. I still do wonder why anyone would object to Rocco and I being married. It has been such benefit to us, to our community, to our society. I'm still waiting for one individual to come forth and state or demonstrate rationally how my loving marriage to my husband threatens anyone else's loving marriage. I'd like to share a section from the vows that Rocco and I repeated during our marriage ceremony. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. With this ring, I give you my promise that from this day forward you shall never walk alone. My heart will be your shelter, my arms will be your home. We shall walk together toward God, through life as partners and best friends. I promise that I shall always do my best to love and accept you exactly the way you are. With this ring, I give you your freedom and my trust in you. I give you my heart until the end of our days. I have no greater love to give. These words are truer again today than they were even then. So, happy marriage anniversary, Rocco. The following is a phone interview that I conducted with Paul Moore, the owner of The Den, the bear bar in Fresno, California, that was incinerated last month.
Hello?
Hi, Paul?
Yes?
Hi, it's Ron Serratia. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
I'm on the road, so you might lose me.
Hopefully, the connection will stay good.
Okay.
So, we covered some of this in the podcast last week, but if you would just reiterate what happened at the fire at the den in Fresno, where you are the owner. So, the fire was noticed by a neighbor, correct?
Well, it was probably arson. The fire department hasn't determined that yet, but I don't see how else it could have started. Somebody either threw a book of matches over the fence or a cigarette or something and started a fire in a little storage shed.
Did they find any accelerant there?
No, they didn't. I asked the fire inspector, and she said she couldn't make that determination.
I see.
I guess,
and they didn't find any witnesses so far?
No. No, it probably happened about 4 a.m.
Yeah, well...
So, we're in the process of rebuilding. The city approved us for putting a new roof on.
Okay.
And,
That's good.
That's probably all we'll have to do.
Yeah.
Wiring.
Have you gotten the interior mostly cleaned up?
Well, there's no point in cleaning that up until we get the roof on.
Of course, right. So, any idea of how long and how much money that's going to take?
Oh, it's probably going to be about $50,000 to $70,000. I really haven't got estimates on the roof yet, but that's the main expense.
Yeah. How has the local community reaction been? Have they been helpful?
Well, they're all dismayed about it, but it's hard to get anybody to help out, so. I haven't had too much help from the community. But the other bars have called and asked to if they could put on fundraisers for us. So, help rebuild the roof.
Well, that's great. That's really nice. Now, have you gotten any outreach from the bear community outside Fresno?
Not really. We got Bears of San Francisco expressed their sorrow about it. But a bar in San Francisco called the Eagle that offered to put on a fundraiser for us, and also the Fault Line in Los Angeles did. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So at least the some of the bear bars in California might be turning out for you.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, that sounds at least somewhat hopeful. So
yeah, I was uninsured, so all expenses on me.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And we had such a bad year in business this year that I had to cut expenses somewhere, and that's insurance premiums, one of the things I cut. Now I'm sorry I did that.
Understandably, yeah. From here, what are your next plans?
Well, I think we'll be reopened probably in about 6 months. We'll get everything together.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, you are looking for legal and financial help from any corners that may have maybe forthcoming. And I do appeal to our listeners on Bear Radio and the Bear Soup Podcast. If you have any help that you are willing to give to the den in Fresno, this bear bar, it would be much appreciated. And Paul, as well as the community there, could certainly use the help.
That would be fantastic. I need to get an architect to draw plans, and I need to get a roofer, and I'm talking to them next week. But if anybody has facilities for that, I'd sure appreciate it.
That sounds good. And people can contact you at the email...
mail@denfresno.com.
Could you repeat that? Sorry.
mail@denfresno.com.
Denfresno.com.
Right.
Very good. So, and we'll have that information up on our website for Bear Soup.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your support.
Well, you're very welcome. We wish you all the best of luck. Sorry for your misfortune. We hope, of course, that it wasn't intentional. Perhaps it was an accident. In any case, we do hope that you'll be able to move forward expediently.
Okay, well, thank you. I don't see how it could have been an accident. It was intentional in some regard.
Yeah. Well, you hate to think that someone could be so evil.
Well, it was just malicious mischief or more than that, I don't know.
Yeah, hard to say.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck, and keep us in the loop, okay?
All right, thank you. I discover I'll be a regular watcher.
Great. Have a great time at Folsom, all right?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Paul. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The following is Chapter 1 from J.C. Hernison's The Stag God Chronicles, entitled A Stag God is Born. Madness. Chaos. Cold and wet. The sight of the moon against the night sky, viewed through the close-set branches of oak and ash and thorn, grown wild and gnarled overhead. The feeling of running, full tilt, through the woods, branches whipping against his muscled legs and naked loins, an erection so intense that it hurts, it aches, the urge to mate, driving him on, furiously seeking to find the source of the mating call of the stag kind of these woods. With a gasp and a sob, Ashlan awoke, tumbling himself out of bed. For a few heartbeats, Ashlan wept, wrapped in his blankets on the ground, his senses gradually growing more accustomed to the dark, dry warmth of his room, limned in the dark red light shed by the dying embers in his hearth. Slowly he peeled the blankets away from his body. They stuck slightly to his flesh, sticky with semen. He sighed and gingerly touched the spot on his head where he'd struck the hard floor in his fall. For another few heartbeats, he kept his eyes closed as his senses returned to normal, the experience of running rampant in the woods slowly fading from his mind, fading more slowly than any dream should. For a 15-year-old boy who had a hard time remembering his dreams, it was terrifying that nighttime visions should force their way into his senses that way. Indeed, sometimes, if he started daydreaming during his lessons, those same impulses flooded his brain. They were becoming stronger and harder to fight. He stood, tossing his blankets into the corner and threw on his robe. He stretched and dried his eyes. His uncle, who had taken interest in his dreams, even going so far as to consult a seer, who'd proven to be nothing of the sort. His uncle had made him promise to tell him when those dreams happened, so he straightened his robes and ran his fingers through the shaggy mop of chestnut-colored hair that was his legacy from his mother, God's rest her soul. He silently padded down the long corridor that separated the guest wing of his uncle's manor from the master wing, where his uncle slept. He strode past the lavish furnishings that were considered the due of a merchant prince such as his uncle Artemy Bayan, a merchant who got his start in lumber and slaves. Ashlan had lived with his uncle, Artemy, since he was a small boy, brought here after the death of his mother and raised by a variety of tutors, nannies, and even his bachelor uncle, when the influential man could spare the time. Uncle Artemy was an upstanding, important man in the Barian League, looked up to and the friend of many important nobles. Ashlan stopped at the massive oak doors that opened into this uncle's suite. He knocked once, then twice. He thought his uncle must be sleeping deeply, so he pressed his ear to the door, listening for the big man's distinctive snore, and heard something else. It sounded like the sounds of quiet violence, snarls and choking, the sound of grappling and perhaps even sobbing. Quietly, he opened the door to his uncle's room to make sure that everything was all right. His uncle lay face down on his massive bed, his bearded face obscured by the rich down comforters that lay thickly on the feather bed. Above him, a massively muscled orc, his thick neck bound in the leather and brass collars of his uncle's slave pens, drove a thick cock into his uncle's ass, battering his sharp hip bones against the rounded orbs of Artemy's bruised ass cheeks. The thick cock looked more like a cudgel than the sexual equipment of a man. Drool trickled around the fierce tusks and down the thick lips of the orc's face, dripping in viscous threads onto his uncle's back as the orc used one meaty hand to hold his uncle's face down on the bed and the other to grip his hips. The orc's grip was strong, and when he leaned forward to shove his fat cock deep into his uncle's bowels, Artemy whimpered. Ashlan watched, fascinated, as the orc's face, a mask of cruelty and revenge for the humiliation being a slave, meant to one of the orcish folk, contorted, and he bared his tusks. His hips began hammering faster at his uncle's rear, slamming his hard meat deep into the depths of his uncle's ass. Uncle Artemy groaned again and looked as though he were in pain, being held down by the orc's firm grip. He moved and thrashed as the orc's assault sped up and the orc shoved his weight forward, rising up on his toes so that he buried the human beneath his bulk. This position also gave him great leverage to continue pummeling the ass of Ashlan's uncle. Ashlan watched for a few moments. Then the orc looked up suddenly and noticed him. His tusked mouth broke into a grin. Ashlan gasped. His uncle's head shot up, and the orc fell back against the headboard, his meaty cock pulling free from Artemy's hole with a wet sound. Ashlan shrieked, turned on his heel, and fled into the darkness of the corridor outside. "Guards! Guards!" he cried, running toward the barracks. Two armed men in his uncle's livery came around the corridor, drawing their weapons as they asked him what was wrong. Fearful tears streaming down his face, he pointed them at the now partially open door to his uncle's chambers. The men quickly rushed into his room. Ashlan stood, fearful, listening for sounds of violence. After a short time, he crept closer, hearing voices, including his uncle's voice, raised in anger. He peered in and saw the orc slave kneeling at the foot of Artemy's bed while his uncle pulled on a robe, upbraiding the soldiers, who looked at the ground with something like shame mixed with disgust. The orc looked at the boy and chuckled, winking at the lad. Uncle Artemy noticed and whirled on the boy, his face, normally so handsome and strong, red with rage.
"Get out of my sight! Go to your room! Now!"
Ashlan turned and fled, confused and afraid. And that was chapter one of the new collection of stories from J.C. Hernison in the Stag God Chronicles, entitled Spring of the Stag God, available from Barebones Books. Find out more at barebonesbooks.com.
Life is so much better without you, baby.
So I asked Steve Harris, publisher of A Bear's Life magazine, to play his new single, Deception, which he just released, on Bear Radio, and Steve-O agreed, and now it's playing. I'm not sure if Steve-O is Jewish, but in any case, Steve, mazel tov, and thanks very much, and I hope that your song will be enjoyed many times. I've already requested it on Bear Radio using their online request feature. When Steve released his first song, I Just Want the One, on YouTube, I was really surprised by some of the petty negative reaction from people, especially since I actually kind of liked the song, which he wrote himself. I really admire what Steve's been able to do on behalf of the Bear community, and even though I've been critical of other aspects of Bear's Life magazine, and honestly, my main beef with them is that they've never asked me to write for them, I have subscribed and just renewed my subscription to the magazine, and I have promoted them for free on my websites for many years. Regardless, when someone who has some standing in the community with some obvious musical chops wants to try something in a new creative field, and people who have not nearly as much talent or guts or creativity jump on him just for trying something new, it's really low class. I can't imagine what those people, whom I will not even refer to as bears, have to say about this program, Bear Soup. In any case, Steve deserves more respect from the bear community than that. Do me a favor, if you're so much more talented or smarter than Steve, you get yourself into a studio and record a couple of songs or a podcast and put them up on Bear Radio and see how hard it is. Otherwise, please have a nice cup of STFU and enjoy the music. Thank you very much. And we have this fascinating report on polar bears on other worlds from Cub reporter Keith Olbermann.
Twilight deer is from Earth, way out in the Libra constellation. There's a star called Gliese 581 that has three planets circling in it, what astronomers call a habitable zone. Of those three, one is too hot for life to exist, another is too cold, but the third planet is just right. In our number one story yesterday, scientists announced the existence of a planet they believe can support organic life forms. It has been dubbed the Goldilocks planet. Though, if you take that comparison to its logical end, we should avoid colonizing the Goldilocks planet because at some point, the three space bears will return and they will be pissed to find us there. The planet is three times the Earth's mass, close enough to the red dwarf star it circles to be able to sustain an atmosphere and contain liquid water on its surface. The planet is tidally locked to its star, so it doesn't spin. On half the planet, it's always night. The other half, the sun is always up. It's like a celestial McDLT. The hot side stays hot, the cold side stays cold. The line fixed between the light and dark is called the Terminator, and is believed to be the most habitable place for life. Here is scientists' vote.
So you have on this planet, over billions of years, very stable zones where the ecosystem stays the same temperature. So you have eco-longitudes. And if you like hot zones, if you're a creature that evolves to have hot things, you move a little bit towards the star side. If you're a polar bear or something that likes cold zones, you move a little bit towards the shadowy side. And you find your zone where you're the most comfortable, and it stays like that basically forever.
See? What did I tell you? Bears!
And there's an article about an infographic entitled The Trustworthiness of Beards. The article is Bearded and Shorn, a graphic display of tonsorial trust, dated April 22nd, from the Los Angeles Times. This week, we received two emails linking to the above infographic that humorously ranks the trustworthiness of various styles of facial hair, from the very trustworthy, full beard, think Santa Claus, to the disastrous Hitler. Think, well, Hitler. In between, there are funny snap judgments on 21 other manifestations of manliness, including the handlebar, which qualifies as questionable, soul patch, threatening, and full moon phase werewolf, dangerous. Turns out it's the handiwork of Mac McInerney, a 21-year-old graphic design student who is moments away from graduating from the Savannah College of Art and Design in Georgia, and who posted it to his website, Pixel Spread, on April 16th. Shortly after that, McInerney says, someone, he doesn't know who, posted a link to Reddit.com, and within 24 hours he counted an estimated 200,000 hits, with the total nearing 500,000 hits in a single week. McInerney told All the Rage column it was inspired by a recent article he'd read at Good's website. Quote, they're known for their cool infographics, but they didn't create their own for the article, so, as a design student, I thought it would be fun to create one, like they would. It didn't hurt, he said, that a friend was contemplating shaving his own beard off. Quote, a couple of us were trying to convince him not to do it, and I whipped this off to send to him and make him laugh. He calls his choice of the Hitler toothbrush-style mustache a pretty easy conclusion at the least trustworthy end of the spectrum, and makes full disclosure about his choice for the opposite end as well. Quote, I have a full beard, so I'm definitely biased, McInerney confessed to ATR, though, for the record, he does note in the lower left-hand corner that his rankings are, quote, based on absolutely no scientific evidence. As we were about to end our phone call, McInerney felt compelled to explain one more thing. Quote, the reason the John Waters pencil-thin mustache at the end is classified as dangerous isn't because of John Waters. It's Michael Jackson's father, Joe Jackson, who makes it untrustworthy. John Waters is just collateral damage, a victim who happens to have one. And to evaluate the scale from very trustworthy, it starts at full beard, the philosopher, goatee and mustache, in the mildly trustworthy category, full mustache, also known as the Wilford Brimley, cop mustache, also known as the Burt Reynolds. Moving into the neutral category, chin strap, also known as the Abe or the Lincoln, sideburns, friendly chops, chin tuft and mustache, also known as the Colonel Sanders. Now drifting into the questionable side of the scale, mutton chops, sans mustache, also known as Amish beard, curly mustache, also known as the handlebar, goatee by itself, the horseshoe, also known as the Hogan, classified as unsavory, chin tuft, unkempt beard, also known as the homeless beard, neck beard, in the threatening category, soul patch, also known as the landing strip, patchy beard, also known as the Sidney Crosby, in the dangerous category, pencil-thin chin strap, werewolf, and finally at the other end of the spectrum, disastrous, the pencil-thin mustache, also known as the John Waters or the Joe Jackson, and at the end, the Hitler. And you can find a link to the image on the Bear Soup website. Check it out. Thanks as always. Music by the Merman, Joe of BearRadio.net, and always to my husband, Rocco. Thanks for listening to Bear Soup with Ron Serratia, episode number 79. Check out the Bear Soup page on my homely little home blog, www.ronserratia.com, spelled R-O-N-S-U-R-E-S-H-A. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for the content of this podcast. Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bear Bones Books. Check out our fine titles by Bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled B-E-A-R-B-O-N-E-S-B-O-O-K-S. Look for Bear Soup and Bear Bones Books also on Facebook, and please email us at bearsoup@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to Bear Soup, and remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.